This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me, as always, is the crack technical staff. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hey-o.
This week on the podcast, we are super excited to have a very, very special guest in the very famous Will Leach of Deadspin fame. Welcome to the show, Will.
Oh, please don't refer to me as very famous. I'm not even very famous to my parents.
Well, that may be the case, but you are the guy who is celebrity blogging the on the CBS Sports line.
Yeah, because that was a very cool day. It's always been a lifelong dream to blog.
To glog.
Which is the actual term that they use over there. They call it glogging, which I think kind of sums up everything you need to know about CBS Sportsline, frankly. But if you ever get a chance to live blog a Super Bowl, I do not recommend it because it's an extremely lonely, sad way to watch the Super Bowl. I keep getting text messages from my friends saying, wow, AJ just did a beer bong! I'm like, I'm sitting in my apartment eating cheese.
Oh, so they didn't give you any, like, special, you know, they didn't send you there or anything?
No, I was just sitting in my apartment. I wouldn't want to go. I wouldn't want to actually be there. That would require travel and you know, actual, like, forethought and discussion and you know, actual expertise. I didn't have any of that, so I was just happy to just sit the place and type that.
Now, you see, I had assumed that you had something special, you know, some sort of special access, and I was going to ask you how you lived with the irony or with the hypocrisy of having a tagline of sports news without access, favor, or discretion if you got access.
Yeah, but I had no access.
But you had no access.
I was just at home like I always was. If I had access, I wouldn't have done it. I have to say, though, if I'm going to have a miserable time in a press box, or have a miserable time sitting at home, I'd much rather have a miserable time sitting at home. It's a lot more fun that way, and I can make my own food.
Sure. Sure. And you don't have to wear pants.
Yes,
so I mean, maybe you don't have to wear
a press box. A lot of people don't realize this, but Gawker Media requires three-piece suits for every day of blogging.
Wow.
Now, and women must wear evening gowns. So a lot of people don't realize that. I know they're a new media company, but generally speaking, they're real sticklers about the dress code.
That seems like that would make for some very, very strange personnel meetings.
Yeah, it's fun. But the bosses, they all just wear slippers.
Ooh,
so it's really embarrassing, actually, for us. But, hey, it's nice to be able to have an excuse to have a suit, I guess.
Oh, why not? So how did you get started with Deadspin?
Well, basically what happened is back in 2005, it seems like a while now. I and some friends of mine, young Turk journalists in New York City, decided to start a site called The Black Table. And it was we started the site in 2003. And it basically was, we got very frustrated because we were working all kind of boring trade publication jobs. I was covering Wall Street, and I don't know anything about Wall Street at all, which made me a very poor Wall Street reporter. And we were very frustrated. We felt we had a lot of stuff we could say, a lot of work that, a lot of good things that we could do, and a lot of people that we knew could do, and we weren't able to get out anywhere. So we started a daily online journalism magazine called The Black Table, and it felt a bit of a following, as small as these things get. And what happened was the people at Gawker Media had seen a lot of my work on there and asked me if I wanted to do this gambling blog they were starting. And I actually, not only do I know less about gambling than I do Wall Street, but I don't like gambling, so I don't like Wall Street either. So I guess they're the same thing, really. But so I thought it'd be a terrible that disqualified me from being a gambling blogger, I guess. But I was like, listen, you guys should really do a sports site. And they were very hesitant, mainly because everyone over there is gay and British and or British. And mm-hmm. So I had to kind of talk them into it and kind of laid out a vision for how the site would work, because I really felt like there was, you know, a real gap in between what fans were actually talking about and what was actually in the news. So I kind of painted it out for them, and they said, go ahead. They said, fine, give it a shot. I don't think they ever thought it was going to do anything. I think if they thought anything that happened with it was found money. And fortunately, we launched in September 2005, and much to my surprise, there actually did appear to be a little bit of an audience there. We grew a little faster than I expected we would. So I thought I had more time where no one would be paying attention, and I could just screw around. Mm-hmm. But everyone knows it now. Now I have to actually think about the post before I write them. But which is just a royal pain, really. It's much better to just type fast. But so that was pretty much how I got started. But it's nice because I think a lot of people think that, like with Gawker, like, you know, they have like an advertising budget or I had some big push. I really didn't. It was really all, the whole thing was exactly the way I like it to be, which was pretty much just word of mouth or link of mouth or word of link or whatever the phrase is in the digital world. But that was very fortunate. I was very happy to have very fortunate that people liked the site and kind of told it to mention it to other people. That was one of the things that that's the only way really things really can grow is organically. I hate, like, if it had come out with some big media push, I don't think anyone people would have instantly been skeptical. It became something that people had just like found and like, wow, hey, this is kind of fun, and everyone kind of feels involved in it. And I think that's the real reason I think people like it, because I don't think people come to the site and they're like, wow, Will, extol us with your wisdom from the world of sports, because I don't really have any wisdom from the world of sports. So I think it's more of a matter, I feel more like a ringleader or a master of ceremonies than I do someone just shooting my opinions at people.
Well, you definitely have a big following, you know, a big community that's built up around there. And now you've got other people writing some of your content, because I see that you've got baseball season previews for each of the teams every day.
Yeah, that's fun too. And that, to me, that one of the fun things about that is that I started doing that with the NFL season last year, because there's just a lot of really good writing. Like, to me, like, the reason I started the site was you know, one of the main reasons, because, you know, I'm a writer. You know, I've written, that's all I ever wanted to do. I never actually had a blog before this. And the goal was just to write. So to me, it was exciting to be able to have, it was exciting to be able to have people see my work every day. And so with the NFL previews and now with baseball previews, I think it's kind of the same thing. I think that, like, whatever can get, like, writers that I think are good and I admire, get them out there for more people to see them, then, hey, everybody wins.
So who are you going to have writing the Reds one?
I have Clay Travis from Sportsline, actually. One of the few bright spots over at Sportsline. Clay Travis is writing it. He wrote a very funny Tennessee Titans one for us last year, and he's very good. He's very good. So he's actually writing a book right now for HarperCollins. The same people are publishing my next book. So I'm excited about that. But Clay's very funny, so hopefully he'll do the Reds justice. And if not, if it's really horrible, I'll say, Clay, I'm sorry, but you're a piece of crap, and I don't really like anything about you, and you're ugly, and you smell. And then we'll pass it over to you.
Oh,
but then,
well,
but I'll be saying the same thing to you if you don't do it. I ride my riders very hard.
Well, you might as well just say that right now.
Oh, no, I would never say
that. So when is that going to come through? Are you doing these in any particular order, or are they just...
No, I'm just alternating leagues every day, but it just depends on... I've kind of backed up right now, so... I'm guessing the Reds would probably be next week sometime.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll be looking for that and linking to it, though. I don't know that the massive 30 clicks you would get from my site will even be a blip on your radar.
Hey, listen, it's where Reds fans go, man. I want Reds fans to be able to see that. So everything always helps.
So on the topic of actual baseball, now that we have exhausted the topic of blogging...
good. I'm always exhausted of the topic of blogging. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm always happy to talk about actual sports.
It's pretty exciting that with spring training starting up here, and are you getting into the swing of it, or are you just on all the time?
It's really strange. I'm not. This is the first off season where I cannot get myself excited about baseball. And I think there's a very obvious and logical reason for that. I'm a Cardinals fan, and I still am not down from what happened last October. It's still amazing that happened so quickly and happened so randomly. You know, I was at Game 5. I was fortunate enough to be able to be at Game 5 when they clinched. And so, I've been rooting for... The first year I ever started watching the Cardinals was when I was 7 years old, in 6 years old in 1982, and I was about to turn 7. And the first year I ever got into baseball was that year, and the Cardinals won the World Series. I was like, wow, this is easy. This is amazing. I love baseball. And of course, it hadn't happened since then until last year. So every off season has always been how are we gonna make it happen this year? How are we gonna get it done this year? And so it's a very weird new experience for me right now to be adjust. I'm not ready for the season to start, not because I don't like baseball. I'm very excited to watch some baseball, but I'm not ready for people to say, like, every day that we get closer to the end of the season is closer to a time where I might not be able to say the Cardinals are the champions anymore.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, to me, that's... Like, I love fantasy baseball, and I love all teams of baseball, but the main reason I love baseball is because I love the Cardinals. So to see a team, I just want to kind of, I will say, just take like 3 years off in honor of the Cardinals and say they're so great and they're such a wonderful franchise and they made Will Leach so happy that I think we should take a few years off. I don't think they're going to do it, though.
I don't know. It seems like they're kind of taking this year off.
Well, that's true. That's right. The it's like that. My father and I are much of our like many fathers and sons. About 85% of our relationship is based on the Cardinal. Mm-hmm. So we've been discussing this team a lot this year, and it's weird because any other off season, if the Cardinals had not won the World Series last year, I would be so frustrated with the Cardinals this offseason. Mm-hmm. They really didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. And not so much they didn't do anything, because I'd much rather them not do anything than do some of the ridiculous things the Cubs did this offseason. Like, at least, if we're not doing anything, well, at least we're not doing anything that's going to destroy us in, 4 or 5 years, which is pretty much what the Cubs are doing, which is fine with me, by the way. And
touches on one of the topics that I wanted to bring up. So what do you think of all that Cubs activity? It sounds like you're not drinking the Kool-Aid.
Soriano is an excellent player, and more power to him. But the money they not so much the money they gave him, that was a lot too. But the number of years, I mean, he's gonna be 38 at the end of that contract. That's nuts. And I have to say, the Cardinals have one of the major things about the Cardinals this year is the concerns about the Cardinals is that their pitching staff. A lot of people are very concerned about whether Reyes will be able to hold it for a year, whether Wainwright will be able to move in, whether Kip Wells will do whatever Kip Wells is supposed to be doing. But we could not be happy. We did cartwheels. Not only that we lost Jason Marquis, but we lost Jason Marquis to the Cubs at a ridiculous contract. We couldn't have planned it any better. So some of the Marquis contract to me is proof that the Cubs don't actually know what they're doing. And the story, they're trying to really spend some money, they're about to be sold, they're trying to get the fans back excited again, I understand that. But when you start selling people like Jason Marquis for that much money, I'm like, oh, okay, you guys are still the Cubs. Good to know. So I went to the University of Illinois and met a lot of friends that are Cubs fans. And it's very cute. It's very cute to see how excited they are. It is. It's like seeing a kid that doesn't, a child that doesn't realize the world's going to destroy them yet. It's kind of a cute thing. And they do it every year. It's very charming.
Yeah, you'd think they would have learned by now.
Yeah, but they won't. And that's what makes it, that is what makes it beautiful and so tragic at the same time.
Hey, do you think they'll have a special patch on their uniform once they reach 100 years?
I hope so. I hope it's like a scarlet something. It should be like a scarlet letter or something. Just a weeping dying tree or something. like crusted over brown rotting ivy or something. I think I should get into something like that. But.
What about the rest of the division? And the moves that you've seen is nothing obviously has been remotely compared to what the Cubs have done. Was anything else stood out in off-season activity or anything that you want to talk about with the other rest of the teams in the NLC?
I'm definitely concerned about the Brewers. I was a little concerned about the Brewers last year, actually. I was a little surprised, actually. At the mid-season, as you saw on Deadspin, I did a mid-season prediction. And I actually thought the Brewers were going with a wild card last year, which was obviously wrong, but this is why no one trusts my opinions on sports, so why would they? But the Brewers are always a concern of late, and that pitching staff could be outstanding. And I know that they overspent for Supon, but Cardinal fans are not like Supon is not a carpenter, but Supon is a perfect, after seeing not just what he did in the postseason last year, but the second half of the season, he had a better ERA than Carpenter did. Mm-hmm. He was as good as anyone last year for the Cardinals, and one of the reasons they didn't completely collapse in the second half. So I go like that to the staff that they already have, and they're still young, they're coming up. The Brewer, I remember thinking 3 years ago when the Cardinals were definitely the best team in the division, that we had a couple more years so we could hold off the Cubs. Fortunately, they imploded. So now I kind of feel that same way. Maybe we have one, maybe two more years until the Brewers kind of take off. I can actually see that happening a little bit, but maybe hopefully I'll be wrong again. I'll be wrong again, like I was with the Cubs. The Pirates, they're in the division, right? I think. I'm not too concerned about the Pirates.
Depends on how you define
Houston,
being in the division.
I don't quite get a lot of Houston's moves. I don't quite, I understand some of the stuff they're doing over there, but thinking with Houston, they always, I'd be really happy when Bagwell's gone. Biggio's gone now. Bagwell's gone now, so I'll be happy when Biggio's gone, so I don't have to think about that team anymore, and so it'll be nice to have Houston out of the way. And then, of course, there's another team, too. The Reds.
Perhaps you've heard of them.
Yes, that's the Reds. I better say that I went to four games, by the way, in Cincinnati last year. So I'm very fond of the stadium in general, and so I do like the Reds. Again, you know, the much debated trade last year. Mm-hmm. I think I understood why they did it, and I really liked the Reds last year. Actually, they kind of had like a toward the end of the year, you could obviously it fell apart. I liked them a lot during the regular season. I'm a little concerned about Dunn. I don't know what do you guys think of Dunn? You guys obviously know this better than I do, but I really thought he was as underrated as anyone in baseball until obviously to those last 2 months, and then everything went dangerously awry.
Well, you know, Dunn's the most controversial character on the Reds team, and he's so severely polarizes the people. There's an entire group of people who are like, well, he contributes so much offense, he's such a great player, and he's such an impact player. And then there's all the rest of the people who are saying, yeah, but he could do so much more.
If he
would just get his act together.
I never get to where I think I read too much baseball prospectus to get too concerned about the strikeouts and anything like that. Have they ever determined was it an injury or what exactly did happen to him last year? It was very strange to see that completely fall off. And I think people were talking the whole time about when the Reds were playing very well last year and really giving the Cardinals a good little run. A lot of people, were like, well, they'll collapse by the end of the year. And they did, but not in the way that I would have thought they would. I would have never thought that Dunn would implode like that or have so much of that happen. So, I'm always wary when a team does we need to make our team over, so now we're going to go small ball. We were striking out and hitting too many homers before. I'm always a little wary of that. It, as always, it's just going to come down to the pitching.
Yeah, well, last year at the end of the year, it was more than just Dunn that collapsed. Pretty much the whole offense, with the exception of Rich Aurelia, stopped hitting.
Yeah, but when a guy like Dunn goes, when a guy like Dunn falls apart like that, it does seem like there's a domino quality like that. If Pujols stopped hitting for a month, it doesn't really everyone else would everything would just collapse around the Cardinals. So I feel like there's a little bit of that too. But
yeah.
I don't know. I've always. There are certain franchises in baseball that I grew up they were so good and they seemed very proud, and the Reds were one of those, the Royals were one of those, so you guys will never have as bad as the Royals. That is an advantage, but I always like to see I find myself, even though they're in the division, I always find myself kind of keeping an eye on the Reds because I remember them so vividly and in both '70s some of the '80s and '90s. So I always feel like it's they're one of those teams. Detroit was like that too. They're one of those teams that when they do well, baseball in general benefits.
I can see that. And, not just because I would benefit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel the same way about the Cardinals too. But baseball doesn't benefit when the Marlins do well.
No, not so much.
Yeah.
Or the Diamondbacks.
They don't benefit when the Marlins do well. I guess they could benefit when the Twins do well, but I can't.
Yeah, but
they don't benefit when the Braves do well. Teams like that. But when those quasi teams with a real fan base that just needs to get energized around something consistent, I always find myself rooting for teams like that. That was one of the things that was really nice about Detroit last year.
So do you think Cardinals are taking the division again?
I do. I'll be honest. I do actually. I think they are. And mind you, I've picked them 8 straight years now. So, but most of the time I've been right. But if just by accident last year. But I do actually think I'm not as concerned about some of the things that people are really worried about the Cardinals. I think they're going to have 3 starters. I think with Carpenter. I'll never get over that game he pitched in the World Series last year. It was one of the dominant things I've ever seen. And Reyes was pretty good himself too. And the thing about Reyes is that the thing that I found very encouraging about the Cardinals World Series run last year was it was not just complete random luck. One of the things you saw a change in Tony La Russa that you hadn't seen, La Russa notoriously hates to play young players, sticks with his guys way too long, and that happened a lot with Reyes last year. Reyes had all of, you can see it when he pitches, you can see how much talent he has, but there was always, you could always feel La Russa and Duncan to a lesser extent kind of boring in on him and saying you have to prove yourself. And I think it really hurt him last year. And I think that finally when he got, but when La Russa got in the playoffs, he kind of loosened up on everything. And he, And he, you know, the bullpen, and I think he had to. He didn't have any choice. Most of his bullpen had fallen apart. But you saw him sending guys out there like Josh Kinney, like these rookies and these young guys that really hadn't, or Tyler Johnson, that hadn't proven anything, and they came through. So I'm hoping in general that will loosen Tony up a little bit, and I think it will actually to trust guys a lot more, like Reyes and Wainwright, and maybe even actually, I don't know, play a guy that's up in the minor league but not the son of the pitching coach again. So that's the thing that's encouraging to me is La Russa tends to do better when he doesn't have the opportunity to make a million decisions and his hand is kind of forced a little bit. That's what happened in the playoffs last year. I think that's actually kind of what's happening a little bit this year too. And I think they can, I think that can only benefit them. I think their pitching is going to be as good as any of the division. But the Brewers are pretty good. The Brewers have pretty good pitching too. But I really think they've got one more run in them before things start falling around them a little bit. It helps that no one else in the division really has their act together that much. That definitely helps. If the Cardinals win the AL East or the NL East, I would not be picking them to win the division. But the Central doesn't quite have that team just yet that really has it all together. It really has a good plan that's on its way up. The Brewers are probably the closest. So, but they don't have, there's no one really like that right now. So I think, in my opinion, they'll be able to hold on for one more year.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, okay, of course. if we can arm wrestle, if you'd like, to see who actually, who's
that's a great idea. You should let me know when you're going to be at Great American, and we can work it out so that we can be on the Jumbotron arm wrestling.
Oh,
I think that would be
absolutely
fantastic.
Absolutely lose.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this coming season, regardless of whether it involves arm wrestling. And we really thank you for being on the program.
Of course, my honor. It was my honor. Anytime you guys want to do anything, if there's a time where there's a big series between the Cardinals and Reds this year, I'd be happy to at least verbally arm wrestle with you beforehand.
Well, I will look forward to that. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
I shall as well.
Okay. You ready, Johnny?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all that we've got for this week. So until next time,
go Reds!
Reds!
The Red Hot broadcast is recorded weekly in front of a live studio audience. To send your comments to the show, email us at rhm@red-hot-mama.com and visit the website at red-hot-mama.com.